Good afternoon. It's 12:30, so we're going to go ahead and get started with the session. I am Dr. Cassandra Arroyo. I'm an assistant professor at Georgia Southern University, Jinping Su College of Public Health, and I will be the moderator for this session. I want to thank you all for coming. Just as a reminder, briefly, if you have your cell phone, could you please turn it to silent so as not to disturb the presentations? It's getting recorded, so it might show up in the recording. As well, just a little plug for the EPI section. We have a social tonight, and if you're interested in coming to the social at Cafe Sevilla on Market and 4th, they do have tickets available at the EPI section booth. They're $5 for students and $10 for everyone else. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves as they come up in to the mic, and we're going to start with Carolyn Voorhees.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody, for seeking us out down here on the end of the Convention Center hallway. I'm Carolyn Voorhees from University of Maryland, New School of Public Health, Department of Public and Community Health. First of all, I'm going to give you an overview of the study from which this data is derived. Well, before that, I have no financial interest to disclose or conflicts of interest. I guess we're all supposed to say that. This is part of the BALT project, Baltimore Active Living Teen Study. It's an observational study funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through the Active Living Research Program. It's a cross-sectional study looking at the urban environment and diverse neighborhoods across Baltimore City. We recruited 350 high school students, boys and girls, majority African American, to look at multiple level risk and protective factors related to physical activity and the urban environment. To just give you an idea of the diversity and geographic diversity these kids come from, on the left side, the yellow side, population density by distribution, the blue dots represent where these kids live. The bigger dots are where more of the kids live in the city. And the green diagram shows household income by the student distribution. The darker areas for the yellow represent higher density, and the darker area or the lighter areas are lower income for the green. And the little red flag in there represents where the schools are, just to kind of give you an idea of the geographic diversity of the kids, where they come from. Again, our subject recruitment was based on land use clusters to maximize geographic variability in terms of high and low density and land use mix, residential versus commercial, and to basically express the sociodemographic variation. The theoretical base of the paper I'm going to be presenting, this isn't an intervention, but it's a combination of social cognitive, social ecological model, and as well as examining direct versus indirect effects and mediators and complex interrelationships among some of these environmental and social variables. We expected in our study to look at community environment. I've just highlighted in red some of the areas we've looked at actually in this paper: access, quality of facilities, land use mix, traffic levels, aesthetic qualities. In this particular paper, I'm presenting parental travel permissiveness is examined, as well as other family environment resources. Social environment, in the larger study, we have objective and perceived measures of crime, socioeconomic status, and population density, as well as individual level factors, travel mode, proximity to resources, walking trips, school performance, and friend network activity. And we just wanted to link that, hypothesizing some direct relationships among these variables. Whoops, sorry about that. To light or walk, light levels of physical activity, or moderate to vigorous physical activity. Just to give you an idea, you know, we've looked at parks and recreation center. We have two papers that were qualitative methods that led up to our survey that have recently been published on perception of the environment and physical activity. And we did see gender differences among the African American adolescents in the different factors related to physical activity. And particularly, the girls were more concerned about social, the social environment and the safety environment. We've also examined child care responsibilities as well as active play in parks with siblings, trail use and access, safety, crime, both perceived and objective measures. Moving now to the actual paper that I'm presenting, where we're looking at walking and neighborhood environments. It's pretty clear to all of you that are doing work in this area that urban and minority adolescents are at higher risk for obesity and inactivity. And recent NHANES data, I don't know if anybody has seen that NHANES data, where adults and children wore accelerometers, that physical activity levels are even lower than we thought from self-reported measures in the YRBS. And this Rick Triano, that was actually in charge of coordinating the physical activity guidelines that just recently came out and are available online, he's the first author on this paper. So activity levels are even lower than we thought based on self-report measures, and particularly in adolescents and minority adolescents. Walking and lower levels of physical activity do have the potential to reduce overweight and obesity associated with physical activity, and the guidelines recommend an accumulation of activity for both adolescents, youth, and adults. So that's walking may be a more realistic goal for people to accumulate and meet recommendations. So we wanted to examine these lower levels, not lowering the bar in terms of moderate to vigorous activity, but looking at lower levels that might be more realistic for people to meet, particularly adolescents, to meet the guidelines. We all know that psychosocial, social, environmental factors serve as barriers to walking and activity, and we wanted to examine the complex relationships among these multi-level variables within theoretical models that can be explored via the structural equation modeling, which I'm going to present. So the methods, we measured height and weight to get BMI. We used the most rigorous methods we knew. And used accelerometers, 7-day accelerometers, to measure physical activity, which measures the intensity and duration. And we also used a 3-day physical activity recall to look at the context in terms of what they were doing, where they were doing it, and who they were doing it with, so we can combine the accelerometer intensity and duration with the context data for the physical activity. For the perceptions of the environment, social support, self-efficacy items that are included in this particular analysis, we had the kids complete a web-based survey, which was really nice because the data is already entered. The walking was assessed by a 7-day travel trip diary where the high school students filled out, it's kind of like a passport that they would put in their pocket, and fill out all their destinations, the travel mode, duration, who they were traveling with. We also had GIS-based measures in the overall study. While I'm not going to present those today, I'm presenting the perception measures. Just picture of our height and weight measurements. And the web-based survey was developed based on the earlier qualitative, the two papers that I highlighted earlier, based on our earlier qualitative, both focus groups, in-depth interview, and concept mapping. Those were earlier papers related to a dissertation that was funded on this project. And we also included common measures that Robert Wood Johnson wanted to kind of incorporate across other grantee sites. And the web-based survey took the kids, high school students, completed it in the computer labs in their school, which is nice. Most schools, even these inner city schools, do have computer labs. And it was nice to be able to do this in terms of the logistics. In terms of the model, the independent variables we included here were self-efficacy, which is a 6-item scale, which is barriers self-efficacy in terms of an individual's perception of their confidence in overcoming situational and environmental variables, or barriers, I'm sorry. And the parent permissiveness for walking or travel was the social factor that we included, which was a 3-item scale related to the perceptions of the parent's permissiveness to walk or ride transit. For the physical environment, we used Jim Salas's neighborhood environment walkability scale, the NEWS scale, and his subscales, which included land use mix, accessibility, neighborhood satisfaction, pedestrian and traffic safety. as well as age, gender, race, ethnicity, and parental education in the demographic variables. For physical activity intensity, again, we had moderate and vigorous physical activity measured by accelerometer and reduced to intensity categories based on MET counts and summarized as a percent time spent in moderate and vigorous physical activity. And we also had a 3-MET lower cut point for moderate vigorous physical activity, which would more represent walking levels. So we subsetted this accelerometer data in two different ways. In terms of the analytic methods we used, structural equation modeling, which models interrelationships among variables to examine the individual pathways between the individual social and environmental and the outcomes, which were walking and moderate and vigorous physical activity. And we actually conducted two models with walking as an outcome and the objective measure of physical activity in the other model. We use SAS, Proc-Kalis, but we are actually, we've rerun the analysis with M-plus that actually reviewers for this paper wanted us to do because it was able to give us more parameters than SAS would. But I'm going to present the SAS analysis, and we actually, the M-plus analysis didn't change in the modeling. It just included more parameters. So I'm going to just first go through the confirmatory factor analysis or the measurement model, which gives you latent variables, the relationship between latent and observed variables, and then the full SEM testing. So just in terms of the general results of the population, again, about 70% African American, 60% female, fairly equal distribution between the grades 9 through 12, and 34% of these students were at risk or overweight based on their BMI and CDC growth curve percentiles for overweight and at risk. Walking, 25% of the walking trips were school-related, transport to or from school, less than one average walking trip per day. And for physical activity, 76% of their time was sedentary and only 16% was light with less than 8% moderate to vigorous physical activity, and that wouldn't even meet the guidelines for physical activity for Americans that just came out for adolescents. As far as descriptive statistics for the individual social environmental variables, I'll go through this quickly. These are just the different items to show that we did do test-retest reliability, and it was good on most items. And the parent permissiveness was a 5-item scale, three-item scale, self-efficacy, 5-item, land use mix. These are subscales of the news, the pedestrian traffic safety, neighborhood satisfaction. And in terms of confirmatory factor analysis on both the walking model and the moderate and vigorous physical activity model, you want loadings over 0.4, and all our loadings were over 0.4, most over 0.5, which is good, and that's what you want for this type of analysis. The overall fit of the models were based on a standard fit criteria index. And I'm not going to go over this because I'm running out of time. I just want to show you the models, the final models here. So this is the walking trip model with the average walking trip per day. We have the land use, the neighborhood environment, walkability scale items on the left with self-efficacy and parental support on the path. Now, some theoretical, there could be a theoretical discussion that maybe parental support should be before self-efficacy. This is how it came out in our model, and these were the paths that were significant. So these perceived barriers and the parental support for walking mediated the relationship between these land use factors in the walking trip model, as well as the MVPA objective model. Now, the difference here is this parental support for walking was specifically related to walking, so we didn't expect it to be in the pathway as in the previous model, but the barrier self-efficacy did mediate the land use and the neighborhood variables in the same way that the self-reported model did. So it was nice that these came out similar in terms of with a self-reported outcome and a objective outcome. So quickly, this is the first paper that we know of to simultaneously model perceptions of the physical environment and objective and self-reported outcomes. And it demonstrates mediated pathways by which the neighborhood factors are influenced by social or parental factors, which predicted the physical activity outcomes with these two methods. And the results, we were happy to find out that the results were consistent for both outcomes. It may not fit a specific theoretical model in terms of the relationship between self-efficacy and the parental support, but this is what we found. The only difference was related to parental support, and as I said, that was intuitive in that it was parental support for walking. All right, I'm good. I'm out of time. Again, neighborhood factors in this model and analysis work together with psychosocial family factors to facilitate walking in urban youth and light levels of physical activity, and it might be useful in designing environmental interventions where parental levels might be considered for older adolescents, where we usually consider peers more for the peer influence is more in older adolescents. We found parental factors did matter, at least for travel by walking. Thank you.
You can stay up there now.
Oh, well, yeah, I just want to acknowledge my co-author, Alice Yan, who's right here in the front. She actually has her dissertation funded off this study as well, looking at BMI's Minchi Wang and Kelly Clifton, who's an urban planning and transportation engineer. And we are revising this and sending this back to Annals of Behavioral Medicine. So, and thank Robert Wood Johnson as well. So, thank you. Anybody have any questions? Okay.
Great. Got somebody.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Relationship predictor. What I mean, it's how it loads on that particular construct, like how well it relates and load. I don't know. Does anybody have a better word? How it relates to the if it falls in line and correlates with the other items in that construct. Yeah. Yeah.
Got another question right there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would be, it'd be worth testing. And you know, travel in the city, we didn't find gender relationships. I mean, we had boys and girls in here, and we found in our qualitative work that parents were more permissive with boys in traveling independently than they are with girls, and that makes sense. And I don't know if that crosses different ethnic groups. But in the city, we're a high crime area, and girls are not, you know, parents and guardians are not as willing to let girls travel on their own as they are with boys. But we didn't find in our model that there was a difference by gender. It was independent of that. We had safety, the neighborhood environment walkability scale has a crime perception of safety that includes crime from the adolescent perspective. We didn't ask, these were all from the adolescent's perspective. It's not, we had no parent data other than what the adolescent reported. So.
You know where you said over 70% of their time was sedentary? Does that include sleep?
Well, it's daytime. I mean, actually, we didn't include school time. We were looking at out-of-school time. So we didn't want to kind of factor in gym class and all that other, because there are plenty of school-based studies that look at kind of activity level. And we wanted to look at environment, an environment outside of school, before school, after school. So we segmented the time and the accelerometer data before school and after school. Sleeping, no, they would take their accelerometer off.
Okay.
Yeah, for bad or showers. And we only lost one, which is pretty amazing, and 350 kids. We were so surprised. The accelerometers are about $350 a piece. Mm-hmm. So they were very responsible.
All right. Well, thank you. And
sorry,
we will. Oh no, it's okay.
Time.
We still have time. I'm just
okay.
Trying to.
Oh,
I'm just trying to give you guys more time. You know. So okay. Our next presenter. I'll go. Like I said, go ahead and let her.